And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
A controversial linen shroud, regarded by some to be the one Jesus was buried in, has baffled the world for centuries. When it's first exhibited in the 1350s, the Shroud of Turin was touted as the actual burial shroud used to wrap the mutilated body of Christ after his crucifixion. Also known as the Holy Shroud, it bears a faint image of the front and back of a bearded man, which many believe is Jesus' body miraculously imprinted onto the fabric. But research in the 1980s appeared to debunk the idea it was real after dating it to the Middle Ages, hundreds of years after Christ's death. Now, Italian researchers who used a new technique involving x-rays to date the material have confirmed it was manufactured around the time of Jesus' death about 2,000 years ago. They say the fact the timelines add up lends credence to the idea that the faint, blood-stained pattern of a man with his arms folded in front were left behind by Jesus' dead body. The Bible states that Joseph of Arimathea wrapped the body of Jesus in a linen shroud and placed it inside the tomb. Matthew 27:59-60 reads, "Then Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a new linen cloth. He put Jesus' body in a new tomb that he had dug in the wall of rock. Then he closed the tomb by rolling a very large stone to cover the entrance. After he did this, he went away." The burial cloth has captivated the imaginations of historians, church chiefs, skeptics, and Catholics since it was first presented to the public in the 1350s. French knight Geoffroy de Charnay gave it to the dean of the church in Lire, France, proclaiming it as the Holy Shroud. It has been preserved since 1578 in the Royal Chapel of the Cathedral of San Giovanni Battista in Turin, Italy. The cloth appears to show faint brownish images on the front and back, depicting a gaunt man with sunken eyes who was about 5'7" to 6' tall. Markings on the body also correspond with crucifixion wounds of Jesus mentioned in the Bible, including thorn marks on the head, lacerations on the back, and bruises on the shoulders. Historians have suggested that the cross he carried on his shoulders weighed around 300 pounds, which would have left contusions. The Bible states Jesus was whipped by the Romans, aligning with the lacerations on the back, who also placed a crown of thorns on his head before the crucifixion. In 1988, a team of international researchers analysed a small piece of the shroud using carbon dating and determined the cloth seemed to have been manufactured sometime between 1260 and 1390 AD. This technique used the decay of a radioactive isotope of carbon, 14C, to measure the time and date of objects containing carbon-bearing material. Some experts have said that the linen's authenticity should no longer be disputed, claiming it was made from flax grown in the Middle East and features a helmet-style crown of thorns on the man's face. However, others have held on to the notion that it is fake due to the 1988 radiocarbon dating analysis conducted at three different laboratories, which all determined it was only 7 centuries old. For the new study, scientists at Italy's Institute of Crystallography at the National Research Council conducted a recent study using wide-angle X-ray scattering, WAXX. The technique measures the natural aging of flax cellulose and converts it to time since manufacture. The team studied 8 small samples of fabric from the Shroud of Turin, putting them under an X-ray to uncover tiny details of the linen structure and cellulose patterns. Cellulose is made up of long chains of sugar molecules linked together that break over time, showing how long a garment or cloth has been around. To date the shroud, the team used specific aging parameters, including temperature and humidity, which cause significant breakdown of cellulose. Based on the amount of breakdown, the team determined that the Shroud of Turin was likely kept at temperatures at about 72.5 degrees Fahrenheit and a relative humidity of around 55% for about 13 centuries before it arrived in Europe. If it had been kept in different conditions, the aging would have been different. Researchers then compared the cellulose breakdown in the shroud to other linens found in Israel that date back to the 1st century. The data profiles were fully compatible with analogous measurements obtained on a linen sample whose dating, according to historical records, is 55 to 74 AD, found at Masada, Israel, Herod's famous fortress built on a limestone bedrock overlooking the Dead Sea, reads the study published in the journal Heritage. The team also compared the shroud with samples from linens manufactured between 1260 and 1390 AD, finding none were a match. To make the present result compatible with that of the 1988 radiocarbon test, the Shroud of Turin should have been conserved during its hypothetical 7 centuries of life at a secular room temperature very close to the maximum values registered on the Earth, as study reads. Lead author Dr. Liberato Di Caro said in a statement that the 1988 test should be deemed as incorrect because fabric samples are usually subject to all kinds of contamination which cannot be completely removed from the dated specimen. If the cleaning procedure of the sample is not thoroughly performed, carbon-14 dating is not reliable, he added. This may have been the case in 1988, as confirmed by experimental evidence showing that when moving from the periphery towards the center of the sheet along the longest side, there is a significant increase in carbon-14. Scientists have long been studying the Shroud of Turin with hopes of solving this centuries-old mystery. More than 170 peer-reviewed academic papers have been published about the mysterious linen since the 1980s, with many concluded it to be genuine. Testing in the 1970s looked at whether the images were made through painting, scorching, or other agents, but none could be confirmed. Another group of experts from the Institute of Crystallography announced in 2017 that they had found evidence that the shroud featured the blood of a torture victim. They claim to identify substances like creatinine and ferritin that are usually found in patients who suffer forceful traumas. The alleged findings contradicted claims the face of Jesus was painted on by forgers in medieval times. The Church of England is increasingly dropping the word church in favour of relevant and modern sounding descriptions such as community, a new study suggests. The Anglican Church appears to be increasingly avoiding the word church when discussing the creation of new worshipping communities and congregations, a report has found. The Centre for Church Planting Theology and Research looked at the language used by 11 dioceses to describe new churches. The creation of a new church group is traditionally referred to as a church plant, but the report found that while 900 new churches have been started by the diocese in the past decade, none had used the phrase church plant as the primary way to discuss the project. The report's author, the Reverend Dr. Will Folger, Vicar of St. Nicholas in Durham, found that 6 of the 11 dioceses used the language of worship in their main description of the new church projects, 2 used congregation and 7 used community. Dr. Charles Fraser, Vicar of St. Anne's Kew, told The Telegraph that his apparent reluctance to use the word church reflects a misplaced desire to be relevant and modern-sounding. In an article on Unheard, Dr. Fraser said that it was as if the church has given up on church, not since print became squiggle has there been such a daft revision. He warned that embracing these new forms of worship had been ruinously expensive for the church, cautioning that the push for modernization should not come at the expense of traditional parish churches. The report found that 10 of the 11 dioceses studied used the language of culture change to describe the place of new things within the diocese. Dr. Folger said that the word church was not comprehensive enough to describe what it is that these dioceses have been starting, adding that the phrase new things might be more appropriate. A spokesman for the Church of England told The Telegraph that one reason why the word church appears less often in description of new worshipping communities is that these forms of worship can exist outside of traditional bricks and mortar churches. Example of these new communities have cropped up across the country. At St. Barnabas in Ealing, a shush-free mass is on offer to welcome families with young children, while the silent disco worship at All Hallows Bow in East London, a new congregation founded within an existing church, attracts young adults. The Diocese of Worcester, meanwhile, has embraced outdoor worshipping, with members of the churches in the Teme Valley South replacing church services with countryside walks, stopping for Bible reading and prayer along the way. These communities often meet in existing church buildings, attracting additional worshippers alongside traditional congregations, but they are as much church as any other form of worship, the Church of England spokesman said. He added that a church is defined in theological terms as a community of people who together live in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In his report, Dr. Folger acknowledged that this change in language by the church is forcing us to redefine what we think a church is in the Church of England. He also recognised that the debate had left certain parts of the church, for whom fidelity to ecclesial terms and practices is essential, feeling outside of the planting conversation. Since 2014, the church commissioners have awarded £82.7 million to dioceses to be used for the purpose of starting new churches and religious communities. This investment is set to continue. In 2021, the Church of England announced plans to establish more than 10,000 new worshipping communities over the next decade. A spokesman for the Church of England defended its funding record in parish churches, stating that significant investment has supported parish renewals, frontline ministry roles, and children and youth workers across various church traditions. Visitors to a Church of England cathedral will be invited to use their mobile phones to learn about how its monuments are linked to slavery. Gloucester Cathedral will place QR codes around the building, which can be scanned to provide explanations of how the people memorialised are linked to slavery. It comes after the C of E announced it was establishing a £1 billion fund to recognise that it once profited from the slave trade. Gloucester Cathedral contains a tomb of Edward II, along with memorials to more obscure figures, to whose stories will be researched as part of the new project, which is expected to be launched next month. Leaflets will also be provided to inform visitors about the slave profiteering of prominent Gloucester locals, with information and guidance sought from a panel drawn from the city's diverse communities. It follows a city-wide review of so-called contested heritage carried out in the wake of the Black Lives Matter protests, which sought to identify monuments, statues and plaques in the city connected with the transatlantic trafficking of its enslaved Africans. The cathedral said the project will be conducted in keeping with our principles of social justice. So far, six figures have been identified and research into their links is being reviewed. The scheme may include James Henry Monk, the Bishop of Gloucester from 1836 to 1856, who was a supporter and patron of George Wilson Bridges, a rector in Jamaica, who became a prominent anti-abolitionist. A plaque in the cathedral also commemorates Admiral Henry Christian. He was identified in the Council Review of Monuments, but a subsequent review by the cathedral cast doubt on his inclusion. He was said to have been involved in breaking a blockade of the slavery-supporting Confederacy during the American Civil War. The new research said proving or disproving Admiral Christian's involvement is problematic, highlighting the difficulty in labelling figures from hundreds of years ago. Christian was 5 years old when slavery was abolished, and also served aboard a ship which carried out anti-slavery patrols in West Africa before he was posted to the Americas. Canon Rebecca Lloyd said that the project aims to shed light on the cathedral's past through the research of the stories of those who are memorialized within the fabric of the cathedral. She added that the cathedral was committed to learning more about our building's history and those who have formed it. Earlier this year, a QR code was added to a statue of Virginia Woolf to explain her imperialist attitudes and offensive opinions. It is part of a scheme by Labour's Camden Council in London, drawn up in the wake of the Black Lives Matter protests, to highlight connections to racism, slavery and imperialism. The cathedral said it welcomed input from the members of the public. And finally, Pastor Jamie's congregation told him his services were too long because he procrastinated so much. He told them, "Just you wait." My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.